It's going to take some time before the UN gets its coordination framework in place and working. Meanwhile, the Haitian government says it hopes to go ahead with plans to move hundreds of thousands of earthquake survivors out of makeshift settlements. They would head to camps on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince, where they can receive food, shelter, and medical aid. Many people now living on the streets of the capital say they're willing to go, but as NPR's Corey Flintoff reports from Port-au-Prince, with the move to camps comes some very real risks.
Jacques Gasson and 10 members of his family have been sleeping in the dust for 2 weeks. They're packed side by side with hundreds of other earthquake survivors in the park across from Haiti's ruined National Palace. They say they've heard of the Haitian government's plan to move them to camps outside the city, but Gasson has some questions. I know we have huge needs here, he says, but if they're going to take us somewhere else, they'll have to give us a roof, food, and even money. The 63-year-old is mistrustful of his government and the international aid mission. People in the camp say the only humanitarian aid they've received so far is water. The plight of people like Gasson and his family is one of the things that makes the idea of moving survivors out of the capital seem appealing. Officials estimate that there are more than 650 makeshift settlements scattered throughout the city, and some say it would be far simpler to provide food, medical services, and safety in formal camps.
It's very easy to deliver aid to camp settings. They're all right there. We call it the truck and chuck syndrome. You just fill up your truck and you chuck it out the other side to give it to people, and you say it's a job done.
That's Rick Bauer, an engineering advisor for the British-based charity Oxfam. He says one idea being discussed would put thousands of survivors in a two-phase camp. One part of the camp would be temporary, with families in tents. Residents would be hired to help build permanent housing in another part, providing a source of income for the survivors.
Sounds good in principle, but in reality, it's a lot more difficult and complicated to put into practice.
Especially in Haiti, Bauer says, where people's normal social organization in neighborhoods has been so severely disrupted. He says there's a risk that violent Haitian gangs could take control of the camps, as they did in the slums of Port-au-Prince just a few years ago. Bauer says that in addition to planning for relocating people, the aid mission ought to be thinking about how it can work with survivors to keep them in their neighborhoods. He says one rough estimate is that 70% of people in some areas could, with some money and technical assistance, repair their houses well enough to make at least one or two rooms safe to live in for the next 6 months or so. That could buy time, he says, to help neighborhood groups restore the life of the city. Returning to a damaged house doesn't sound appealing, especially when aftershocks rumble every day. But Augustin Ernst, living with his family of four in the camp by the National Palace, says moving away from the city would be hard too. We don't want to stay here, he says, waving at the camp, but we have no choice. I was born here and this is what I know. I don't want to go anywhere else. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.